We'll be in the Gospel of Mark tonight, if you would find in your Bibles the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I'm going to use this a little more tonight than I did last night, mostly because he made me eat too much. And we're both on a diet. Can you grasp that? Mark chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 35, if you would please. Appreciate our church members coming to support us. They've heard this message, but God's word is always the same and always different. Every time I preach a message from the same text, it's a little different than the last time. As we read this record in the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse number 35, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. They say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5. And 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. They did eat, and all were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." This is Mark's record of the multitudes following the Lord Jesus Christ and his providing for them in their need. As I study this message and I think about how amazing this is, how many does he feed every day in our day? Possibly 6 billion people upon the face of the earth. We know there's some that go hungry, but there's an awful lot that are full, and there's too many that have too much and eat too much. Where do they get it? Same one that multiplied the loaves and the fishes is the same one that still feeds us today. Same one that commanded us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So while this is an amazing thing in the life of Jesus Christ, it's something that should not stagger us, because he's still doing it. Now, he's not here in our presence. We can't see him as they did, but he's still feeding this whole earth. When we think about the record, it's in Matthew, of course. We find the same incident, but recorded through the eyes and through the pen of Matthew, and of course, also in Luke and in John. This miracle is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew tells us that he fed not just 5,000. Mark only counted the men, but Matthew says that is plus women and children. The 5,000 did not include the women and the children. They were also there. They were also fed. Our message today is entitled, And it's taken from what we've just read to you, using what you have. The disciples were in consternation about what to do about all these people. Jesus said, give you them to eat. The question then, well, how are we going to do this? Can we go buy 200 penny worth of bread? And Jesus said, how many loaves have you? What do you have? You know, the Lord's churches need to lay hold of what we find in the record of the Word of God about Jesus feeding 5,000 here and, of course, later on another 4,000. And in both cases, there was more than enough. There was, in this case, 12 baskets left over after everyone had eaten and everyone was full. So he provided not only enough, but he provided so much that there were baskets left over. This is not something that is new in the sense that Jesus said, what have you? And they found this lad, John tells us, a small lad there with the fishes and with the loaves. It's something we find throughout the Bible. And what I'm preaching tonight is, I believe, a principle in the Word of God. It's a declaration of who God is and what God can do. And as the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know this. We need to understand that we need to use what we have. Our churches are relatively small. We can go across the road and, 10,000 members? I was watching the tape the other day of the First Baptist Church up in Hammond, Indiana. 15,000 members. That staggers my mind. We're not of that size. We don't have the talent. We don't have, I think they have 40-some piano players and on and on. I mean, our churches are relatively small. But we are under, I believe, an obligation to use what we have. And I believe the Lord's churches today need to be encouraged. Whatever we have, it's sufficient. Whatever we have, it's enough. And if we will take it as they did and bring it to the Lord as they did, you can find out what happened. Let me just give you a few incidents in the Old Testament. You know, I love the Old Testament scriptures, and I love to read about the men. This one we'll read about in the book of Judges, the 15th chapter. And in the 9th verse is a man named Samson. He wasn't the most blessed example of what a person ought to be, who God blesses and God uses, but he is a child of God. We know that. He's recorded in the hall of fame of faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. This man was a saved man. But notice in the 15th chapter of the book of Judges, and in the 9th verse, just read a few verses here. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson, are we come up to him as he hath done to us. Now Samson was a real thorn in their side. Every time God wanted to deliver Israel, he gave Samson the commission, and Samson was really aggravating them. And they were tired of it. They come, we want Samson. Bring him up to us. Now let's read further. Then, in verse 11, 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. They said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came into Lehi, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass. And he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Using what you had. All he found, all he had to fight with was a jawbone of an ass. And this man, when the Spirit of God came upon him, took the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men. Now, they didn't have semi-automatic weapons against him, it's true. They were just men. But they were warriors and they were fighters, but they were nothing against Samson with the jawbone of an ass and the Spirit of God upon him. And he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. That's hard to... Listen, 1,000 men's a lot of people. But he used what he had. That's all he had. David, you know the story of David. What did David use? Well, he took 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he took a sling and he slew Goliath with what he could use. He took Saul's armor off. He put away Saul's sword and he said, "It's no use to me." And he went forth and with the stone in the sling, and he slew Goliath, that great giant of a man. He used what he had. Elijah, remember when he came upon that widow woman? 1 Kings chapter 17, and she was almost out of food, and all she had in that bottom of that barrel was a handful of meal and a cruse of oil. He used it and sustained himself and the widow woman and her son for many days. He used what he had. This is repeated throughout the Old Testament, and we'll find in the New Testament the same principle applied, that, beloved, we as God's people need to learn to use what we have. So many times we pray and we ask God for what we don't have and what he doesn't even want us to have. We ask God many times what he doesn't want us to have. I sometimes think what a mess our life would be and our churches would be if the Lord gave us everything we asked for. I'm so glad he's wiser than we are. The Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter number 9, there was a man there that was blind, and Jesus Christ would heal him, and he got down and scooped up some dirt and he spit in the dirt and he made a clay pack out of the spit and the dust, and he put it on the man's eyes. He opened his eyes with spit and the dust of the earth. He used what was there. We know he could have spoken the word. But I believe there's a principle being taught throughout the Word of God that we as God's people, we need to use what we have, because the same God that fed 5,000 plus the women and children, the same God that fed 4,000 and had an abundance over, is the same God today. He's living. He's in heaven. He's reigning over heaven and earth. And we in his churches need to learn to use what we have. There's a lot of things that I know in my weak mind and my weak understanding at times I want, I'd like to have. I'm envious. And maybe I shouldn't confess my sin at this time, but I look right beside our church. There's a big Christian congregation there. They can't find anywhere to park. I mean, they're parking all over the place. You come to our driveway and they could have a lot of parking spots over in our driveway. But there's a whole lot of difference. I know people that go there and they tell me what goes on. There's a whole lot of difference between what comes forth from the pulpit in our building and what's going forth from the pulpit over there. But sometimes we get envious. And when we do that, beloved, we forget who God is and we forget who we are and we forget what the principles of the Word of God tells us. We need to use what we have. So many times we don't do that. But if we'll learn to do that, I believe we'll have what's sufficient. Paul said, "His grace is sufficient for me." He didn't want to be troubled with his eyes as he was, that thorn in the flesh, I believe it was his eyesight. He didn't want that. God says, my grace is sufficient. It's still sufficient. We need to use what we have. You probably heard this story. I heard it years ago, and I injected it into this message. This young man, that was, oh, he was so much in love, he couldn't stand it. This beautiful girl, and he said, oh, if I just had a thousand tongues to tell her. If I just had a thousand eyes to look upon her. If I just had a thousand arms to embrace her with. And this old preacher looked at him and said, why don't you use what you have? You don't have a thousand arms. You don't have but you do have two. And you do have two eyes. And you do have two lips. Just use what you have. If you won't use what you have, you probably wouldn't use what you're asking for. And that's true in the Lord's churches. If we won't use what we have, we probably wouldn't use what God would give us to His glory. I want to ask a question tonight, individually, personally. They all said there's some of the members missing, but there's some here. Am I using what I have? Am I using it in the right way? Jesus Christ performed a great and a wondrous miracle here, but of course He performed many, many more. Remember, He sent Peter out to, when they needed to pay the taxes, He sent Peter out to catch the first fish, and what did he find in his belt? Well, there was a coin there. Beloved, we serve such a great and a glorious God. If we would just be able, if we just learn to really trust Him as we ought to really believe in Him. You know, I thought about those apostles when everything and all the, everything settled down and everybody was fed, there's still 12 baskets there. 12 apostles, 12 baskets. One for each. But the wonderful thing about that, and this is what I think we ought to stress, they didn't provide one crumb. They didn't provide any of the fish, but they were a part of a glorious miracle. They were eyewitnesses to what the Lord Jesus Christ did in this demonstration of His power. And they were used. The Lord says, command them to sit down. And they commanded them to sit down. And He blessed the bread and He gave it to the apostles. And the apostles took it out and gave it to the people. That's what we're supposed to be as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's still blessing. We need to be giving it out to the people. That's our part. Are we using what we have? We're so unworthy. I try to remind our church frequently of the great privilege of being a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. Jesus said, I'll build it and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's still true and it's still going on and it'll be here when He comes. But we're a part of that. We're blessed to be a part of that. I think about our fellowship meetings down in our way. And sometimes I get to come up here to your fellowship meetings. I think about the conferences that I am so privileged to go to and hear the preaching of the Word of God and the blessed fellowship that we have with other preachers and other people that love the Lord. Listen, beloved, we are so blessed. And yet we complain, we murmur, we gripe, we don't use what we have. Let me give you a few things along this line that we need to consider tonight. First of all, you use your mind. You use your mind unless you're unconscious. Unless you're sound asleep. When you're awake, you're using your mind. What are you using it for? What do you think about? Have you got it on the Cincinnati Reds? I think I'm safe around here. I'm up in this part. I'm serious. What do you think about? What is your mind? What do you use your mind for? There are people in our Baptist churches that can give you And down our way, the statistics of every player on the University of Kentucky team, they keep up with it so closely, they know exactly what's going on. They know who they're going to sign. I mean, they can spout it off to you. They use their mind. That's what they're consuming their mind with. That's what's important to them. What are we using our mind for? Are we using it for the right thing? What a precious gift it is. You probably know someone that has Alzheimer's. A few years ago, I was going to church on Sunday morning, and I come to the interstate bridge, and I looked over, and there was my neighbor, still in her nightgown. Looked like she had fallen, kind of cut herself up, and I stopped, and I said, "Miss Pickett, what are you doing here?" And I could tell when I looked, and the glazed look in her eyes, she didn't have a clue. So I managed to get her in the car, and I took her back to the house. I like to never got anybody awake. I pounded on the door. This is 6 o'clock in the morning. Finally, someone comes to the door. "Mother, what are you doing out there?" Somehow she had gotten out of the house. Didn't have a clue where she was. Let me tell you something. You better use your mind while you can. Because she was up in years and she was losing through Alzheimer's. She's going to be out in eternity now. She was losing the ability to reason and to think clearly about anything. We have our minds, and what are we using them for? Are we using them to memorize the Word of God? Are we memorizing basketball scores? Are we memorizing politics? What is our mind being used for? It's a blessing from God. We need to use it while we have it. One of my fears, I used to never think about it. But I'm getting up in years. I don't want somebody to find me out on the interstate bridge some morning, but it could happen. Getting old is part of living. If we fill our minds with garbage, if we fill our minds with the world, and we're not thinking about eternity, we're not thinking about the things of God, we're thinking about things that are of no value, they'll soon pass away. Philippians 2 and verse number 5 reads like this: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. We need the mind of Christ. We need to be thinking about spiritual things, eternal things. But we're so consumed with this world that our minds are bogged down with the wrong things, and we don't use them. Our body. Everybody else talking about my health. I've had some real struggles with my health. Open heart surgery, 6 angioplasties. That was 20 years ago. 1999. Almost 20 years ago. I'm still able to go. Diagnosed with cancer. I got a good report this week. In the last 2 years, it's just been one thing after another. One thing after another. The older you get, just expect it. It's a part of living. I understand that. But every case, and I thank the Lord above for it, in every case He's given me strength. I've been able to come back. I'm still able to preach. I've told the church I want to go till I'm 80. If I can make it 4.5 more years, I'll be there. The Lord's been good to me. I try to take care of my body. Most of us don't. My doctor told me when I was 48 years old, if you don't get yourself under control, you're going to die of a heart attack. But what do we use our body for? We use it to lay on the couch and watch television. Consume. Someone said, Westerns. I love Western movies. I love John Wayne. I love Gene Autry. I love those Westerns. Is that what we're using our bodies for? I know we have to have time to relax. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about when it becomes consuming. That's all we do. Our time is consumed with just doing nothing with our bodies, not taking care of our bodies, not using our bodies in the work of the Lord, but using our bodies for something else. Better use what you have while you have it. It's an old saying that we use at church quite a bit, to people that have musical talents. And it's true of everything. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. If you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. When I was young, healthy, and I could just do about anything I want. I could work 8 hours and be ready to go do something else. But now I'm lucky if I can work 2 hours and be ready to do something else. I mean, that's a part of getting old. But beloved, one of my messages tonight, are you using what you have while you have it? That's a message of the scriptures. We had a man in our church, he wasn't old, he was in his 60s. Brother Hogan, some of you remember Brother Hogan. He had multiple myeloma. That man crawled to church. It's a black man. Crawled into the house of God. Would sit on the back of the pew with tears streaming down his face because we're preaching the gospel of the grace of God. We're preaching the doctrine of the Word of God, which he loved. Which he more or less embraced with everything in him. And when he got sick, he still came. If he could possibly drag himself to church, he came to church. He wanted to use the time he had to glorify God, and he died glorifying God. Left a good testimony. Our body's important. We need to use it to serve the Lord. What about our material things? Are we using what we have? I'm afraid we're using what we have for the wrong thing. Now, they stay after me at church quite a bit. Brother Vince, take a vacation. Take a vacation. Take a vacation. Well, I found a vacation spot. I'll tell you all about it. Share it with you. General Butler State Park. It's 50 minutes from my house. I can be there in 50 minutes. I can do everything that I really like to do, like putt-putt golf and rowing those boats, you know. And I can be home and in bed at night. That's my idea of a vacation. They think I'm crazy, but I'll tell you, beloved, when I get away from home, I'm unhappy. We need to take a break. I understand that. People need to take a break. But when we find out that the first thing that happens is they're taking a vacation about every 3 weeks, and they're gone for a week, and it affects the church, and it affects the worship, and it affects the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because people are so consumed with the world, they don't really have time to serve God. They've used the worldly things that God gave them to take them away from the Lord. It happens over and over and over again. And that doesn't matter how much you preach. It applies to everybody else but me. Material things. God gives us blessings. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. We're to use it for His glory. I always think of the widow's mite. Jesus commended that woman. She took that mite. And he said, she's cast in more than all of you, all the rich men that cast in and looked around. See if everybody's looking now. Everybody's looking. Okay, I'll cast that in. She cast in of her very living. Jesus said, she's put more in than all of you. She used what she had. So much in the Bible about this. Mary in John the 12th chapter, remember when she took that alabaster box and she brought it in and broke it and anointed the Lord. She used what? Oh, they condemned her for it. Oh, it should have been sold and given to the poor. Oh, Judas was desiring to stick it in his pocket. But she used what she had. Jesus said, let her alone. She's anointed me for my burial. Leave her alone. Let her do what I want her to do. What will bring glory to me. But you preach on tithing in some of our Baptist churches, and you'll get some narrow looks. You mean give a tenth? No, I don't mean give a tenth. The Lord said give a tenth. I say give an offering. You give a tenth, you've just given what belongs to the Lord. We give liberally. That's why the Lord's churches, though they're small, are able to do the work of the Lord and help missionaries and help special projects and do the things that we do, because our people give and they love to give. They rejoice to give. Using what we have, we use it for the glory of God, not to consume on our own lust. We don't give grudgingly. We began a work in 1981 in Frankfurt with my family. One other man who joined that morning. There were 10 of us there. Bryan Station Baptist Church paid our first month's rent. They never spent another dime in that work because we had people that were saved that began to tithe. And we pay our own rent. And we eventually built our own building. The Lord blessed us. Bryan Station did give us a $5,000. When we decided to build, they gave us $5,000 to help buy the land. But other than that, I don't know if anybody gave us anything. We used what the Lord gave us. We tithe. And beloved, that's how a church ought to grow. People ought to have a responsibility for their own work. Always expecting someone else to do it for you. That's not the way the Lord ordained it. Do you give liberally? Do you give because you love? You know, when the Lord multiplies it, and He has in our case, it's scary sometimes. And I don't say this except to magnify the Lord's goodness, but it's scary when you look at the amount of money in the treasury and you can't find anywhere to send it. I told Brother Ellis tonight, we've tried to find missionaries. We can't find missionaries. We can't find people that are faithful that we can give to. So we've just started doubling up on the ones we have. We know they're faithful. We know they're doing the work of the Lord. But it's frightening when you realize if the Lord were to come and we had all this money, are we making every effort we can to use it for the Lord? Are we going to let it lay in a bank somewhere and draw a 0.5% on it? We need to use what we have. Jesus used the lad's loaves and the fishes, and He can use me, and He can use everything I have if I'll give it willingly. If I'll dedicate it to Him, He can use this church. He has used this church, but He can do even more. Elijah used the cruse of oil and a little handful of meal to live many days on that little bit that they had there. Old Samson used the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men because the Spirit of God was upon him. Beloved, we need the Spirit of God. I preached that last night. We need the Spirit of God in our midst. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, or we won't do anything spiritual. You can build buildings. You can fill the pews. But if it's not done by the power of the Spirit of God, it's worldly. The world can do that. You see it all around you. But begin to preach the truth. Begin to preach the Word of God. Begin to preach like Jesus did and see what happens. John, chapter number 6. When Jesus really began to preach, He really got down to the doctrine of the Word of God and began to declare He was the bread of life. He began to declare, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What happened? Many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him. That's why our churches are small. Because we preach the truth of the Word of God. If you preach the Word of God as Jesus Christ preached it, as Paul preached it, as the Apostle preached it, don't expect the world to accept it. Expect them to reject it. They did when He was here. If they rejected Jesus Christ, don't feel bad if they reject you. But the key is using what we have. Do we use what we have? If we do, and in our case, we've tried to. And I see the leftover. And sometimes, as I say, it's kind of frightening. We want to do more. We get skeptical. We get cynical about that. We've had some missionaries that, I mean, they've just been abusive. But we want to do the Lord's work. If this church wants to do the Lord's work, use what you have. Try to be a blessing to people. Try to use whatever God gives you, not just monies, but as Brother Ellis used his printing ministry to try to be a blessing to the missionary. Continue to go forward. Use it more and more. Don't stop. Don't be content. Paul says, and I'll close as we turn and read this passage. I'm not about through. I just said I'll close here after I read this passage. 2 Corinthians, if you read this with me in the 4th chapter, because this is a wonderful portion to bring the message to a close with. In the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, sometimes preachers get accused of lying because they say, well, you're going to quit and you just keep on going. Well, that's why I'm clarifying that. I'm not through yet, but I'm almost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We have good news, beloved. The word gospel means literally in the English, good news. The gospel's good news. Why is it the world? Everybody says, well, I don't even watch the news anymore. All they have on earth is bad news. Well, we've got good news and they don't want it either. They don't know what they want. They're lost. They're blind. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're blind. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. Yes, we've got two television programs, one in Frankfurt, one in Lawrenceburg. We've got a radio program that we've had for umpteen years, still going on the Christian radio station there. We support missionaries. But we don't get a lot of response. Say, is it your fault? What are you not doing? We're preaching the truth. And that's our responsibility. God will bring the people. And the very moment you start bringing the people, you've just left the Word of God and injected yourself and your flesh trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. If no one comes, we're still serving God and preaching and going forth and trying to tell people the blessed gospel is good news. But don't be disappointed if they don't accept it, because they're blind. For we preach not ourselves. There's a lot of preachers today preaching themselves. These, we call them TV evangelists, they're preaching themselves. But Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Only God can shine the light in the heart of a sinner. We preach, we plead, we try as best we can to make the message as simple as we can, how that Christ died for sinners, and that all you need to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand that when He hung on that tree, He bare our sins in His body on the tree. To believe that message, to trust that message, is to have eternal life. To believe that message is to have the light of God already shine in your heart. And you know it's true, and you accept it. You know you're saved. You believe the message of the glorious grace of God, because God shined the light in your heart. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Let there be light! As I understand it literally in the Hebrew, light be! That's what God said. Light be! And light was. And beloved, when someone's saved, I don't think this is wrong. God says, light be in his heart. Understand. Grasp it. That's why Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Now let's read further. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are we using? Are we using our mind to promote this message? We have it in earthen vessels. The only thing we have to serve the Lord with is our bodies. My body. My lips. My eyes. My mind. We have this treasure. What is this treasure? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has shined the light in our hearts. We have this knowledge. Now we're to take it to someone else and shine it upon them and wait for the Lord to open their eyes, open their heart, and God to save them by His amazing grace. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the challenge that I wanted to send forth tonight, are you using what you have? Do you use your lips? What do you talk about at work? Talk about the riots up in Baltimore? That'll do you a lot of good. Can't change anything. Talk about politics and who's going to be the next president. Talk about ball games and who won yesterday's ball game. I'm serious, beloved. The only thing we have to serve God with is this body. Are we using what we have? Are we using our minds? Are we using our mouths? Are we using our memories? Are we retaining the Word of God? Are we studying? Are we desirous to see people come to the Lord? Are we really burdened about people who are lost? Are we using what we have, this earthen vessel? We have a treasure here, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know why salvation is not by works? You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That the excellence of the power may be of God, and not of us. If one person could be saved by what he did, he could walk in the presence of God and say, look what I did. I'm so proud of myself. I heard about Jesus, and I saved myself because I trusted in Him. Completely leaving out repentance and the work of the Holy Spirit in breaking him down to where he knew he couldn't do anything but just trust and look and believe in Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We need to use what we have, great or small, doesn't matter. It begins with our surrender to Him as Lord. On the road to Damascus, when God brought Paul to his knees and blinded him, his first words were, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then he said, Lord, what do you have me to do? An absolutely total surrender of everything that he was and would ever be. We know we have the record of what that did to Paul. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament, I believe. The Word of God that we treasure, live by, was written by the man who fell on his knees and said, Lord, what do you have me to do? The Lord showed him. We spoke last night of his weaknesses. He knew what he was. But he became a surrendered person. We need in our churches people that are surrendered. We've got enough enemies in the world, beloved. We don't need enemies in the church. But you know, most of the time spent in my own ministry has been battling the enemies in the church. Satan puts them in there. If you're not saved tonight, before we close, let me urge you, you have an earthen vessel. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. The picture we have in Revelation chapter number 20 is of people, living, embodied people being cast into Gehenna. We're going to spend eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ in a body, a resurrected, glorified body. Or we're going to spend eternity in Gehenna, in the lake of fire, embodied, suffering forever and ever, because we rejected the good news, we rejected the message of the grace of God. We would rather go on in our rejection and our rebellion. We would rather die in our sins than surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He's your Lord. Whether you accept it or not. Because one day every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. We wanted to encourage you tonight. I hope this will encourage you. You don't have to be a talented person. Just use what you have. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the piano player. You don't have to be a great singer. If you're a church member, you're a blessed person. God has blessed you, but He wants you to use what you have. The wit is might is put there for a reason. You may seem insignificant to the world, but you're not insignificant to God. He gave His only begotten Son to save you. And if you're lost tonight, and the Holy Spirit of God deals with you, you understand this. You're not insignificant in the eyes of God. He's going to judge you one day. May the Lord help you to understand, to repent, and cling to Jesus Christ as your only hope. That's our message. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank You for Your Word. And as we close this time of preaching and begin to sing the invitation hymn, we pray for Your will. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to You. I pray that You would use Your Word, the great examples that we have in Your Word, to speak to the people here tonight and use it according to Your own divine purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.